Again. Step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. 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 Right. That connects with turn, turn, out, in, jump, step, step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Got it? Going on. And turn, turn, touch, down, back, step, pivot, step, walk, 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 right. Let's do the whole combination facing away from the mirror. From the top. A 5, 6, 7, 8.
Of NYC Dance Teacher.
I'm your co-host, Danielle Colangelo.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Williams II. This is a podcast about the adventures Danielle and I have as teachers and choreographers living here in New York City. We will be sharing our experiences and all their ridiculous and hilarious truths.
However, to keep the identity of the students and companies we worked for safe, we won't be mentioning any by name, and if we do, they will be changed.
That being said, let's get to today's topic, auditions. So, from a very early age, we learned that we have to audition for parts when it comes to the dance world or most of the artistic world. And we just kind of wanted to talk about like all the ridiculous things that have happened and why, and like what are the proper etiquette things and how people break the etiquette and you want to break them when it's 8 a.m. in the morning and you have people stretching in odd places that they shouldn't be. So let's just start at the beginning, the prep work. Once you find out what the audition is, where you want to go, what auditions you're going to, it's super important to know who you're auditioning for, their style, who's running the audition, who's going to be in the audition, and how they like to do things. Because that will determine a lot of, like, pretty much everything else throughout the audition process, just who you're dealing with.
Yes.
Because I know that a friend of mine was auditioning for, can I say her name? I'm going to say her name. Debbie Allen. And she, it was like this Christmas spectacular thing down at Disney, but Debbie Allen had a major project that was about to go up on TV in LA, so she couldn't leave LA. So it was all done via Skype. So literally, like, it was the first time she'd done a live video audition, because you literally have cameras set up in the room as Debbie Allen's watching. While there's a live team in the room with the dancers, but like, that was a whole, you know, like, that was a whole different thing, you know?
Yeah. It's also really good to know, like, who you're auditioning for, how they work, all that stuff, and also, like, what the project is, because is this a first round of auditions? Is this a required call? Is that, you know, a 6-month required call for theater? Is this, you know, they've exhausted every option call? Because if you can find out that stuff, it's also going to tell you a little bit about kind of how the team in the room is going to act and just what their energy is going to be.
So there's a, here in New York, in most equity cities, there's a equity's a union for
it's any equity, any like tours or Broadway or
they're required to do a 6-month audition. So every 6 months they will audition for stuff. And honestly, if you work enough in the industry, you'll have people that tell you, oh, we all just signed our contract, so there's no openings. Like, literally, friends that, like, I know that Lion King just had their audition, and they were looking for 2 Nalas. But after that, like, other than 2 adult Nalas, they, like, we were not looking for anything else, because everyone renewed, and they, like, switched some people around in some companies, but, like, no one's looking.
Yeah. We had, one of our friends, I remember she was telling me, she went to a call for Phantom of the Opera, and, you know, she was able to stay through a couple of rounds, which was great, but she found out, by just talking to people during one of the first few rounds that they were really, and it was, you know, it said that they were hiring for the ballet ensemble, female ballet ensemble, but they were actually only looking to replace one woman who was about to go on maternity leave.
Yep.
And so you had to fit in her costume, or that was that. And that's another thing I want to bring up. So, like, a lot of people don't realize, and they'll get, like, all upset, like, oh, they're discriminating, or I'm better than the person next to me. How did they get a call back? But a lot of jobs, you know, like, you have to look the way that the part is written and fit the costume, specifically something like Disney Cruise Line.
Oh, yeah.
Disney Cruise Line, the first thing, and I've gone to these auditions, like, I went on them when I was younger, so I know firsthand, the first thing they do is they measure you.
Yep.
They look at what's on your resume, they call you one by one, they measure you, they tell you what their measurement of you is. Then everyone goes in the room, everyone learns the combo, and they'll call back people, but be aware that the people they're calling back are the people that fit in the costumes that are about to be available. So you could dance or sing circles around the person next to you, and they'll still get called back because they have different measurements than you.
And that's why you do the prep work, because that happens a lot of times with touring companies or even like dance companies. They know full well, like, we need to replace our 6'3" guy is going home to Europe for the summer, and we need to replace him for, you know, the summer leg of the tour. So they're only looking for guys who are 6'3". They may or may not put that in an audition posting because, you know, eventually they know they might need people.
Right.
And it's always good to see new talent.
Absolutely.
But understand that, like, how that audition goes down may have nothing to do with what you bring to that room.
Don't take it personally. Just don't. Yeah. Now, should you be like, oh, well, I'm not going to show up to an audition then because they're not looking for me? It depends. Like, I think it's a judgment call, because if it's a really good project or really a casting agent or something like that, you should still go, because you never know what else they're working on. Mm-hmm. Or exactly what Tony just said, for future. They're going to file you away. And if you're memorable, they will call you back in to audition later for the role that they think you're right for.
I did an audition in January of 2017, booked it, but had a guest choreographer for the audition. So wasn't even the choreographer I did the show with. The guest choreographer that did the audition with me booked me for a workshop fall of 2017. So, like, months later, like, it was random. Like, I don't even know how she got my email, but she, like, sourced it through some friends and got my email and emailed me and booked me for a job.
Yeah.
So, like, you never know how it's going to turn out. So, it's kind of a judgment call whether you should go to any audition. Also kind of based on, like, just life in general. So, something that's kind of slightly new to, I know, younger dancers is that, like, there's not always a holding room. It's kind of like you make a line, they bring in a group, they teach you the dance. But what usually happens is there's a holding room where you can stretch, you can warm up, but it's literally nothing's happening in that room other than you're sitting and waiting to go into the next room and actually dance.
Right.
This is not the time to be a diva.
No.
This is not the time to put on your makeup. Or honestly, for me, and again, I don't wear makeup, so maybe it's different. Mm-hmm. But makeup and hair, if you can help it, do all of those things at home in the comfort of your house. And again, I understand that it's very difficult in New York City with early call times and multiple auditions to be able to not be able to do that, or you just went to another dance call and you sweated it out and you're reapplying. But you just don't. Like I said, I've been holding rooms where they're literally, it was 200 dancers in a room that was not fit for 200 dancers.
Yes. I mean, and even, like, I see stuff on my, like, Facebook news feed. I can think of one person off the top of my head, and she'll always, like, post silly stories and ridiculous things that happen when she's at ECC, so equity course calls, or she's at an EMC, equity membership candidate calls.
Yep.
Of just, like, she's like, all I wanted to do was do a plie, and the girl next to me has five bags full with 10 different outfits and a curler and a straightener and a steamer and that's the thing, is like, no. Like, you need to, like, I'm sorry if you have to wake up really early, but this is part of the deal. This is part of what you signed up for. You need to do as much as you can. Now, absolutely, you should bring your little bag of makeup so you can reapply and touch up, 100%. Bring a little tube of hairspray, stuff like that, 100%. But there's already so many people in the room. We don't need people trying to plug in blow dryers and straighteners and curling irons and all of that jazz. It's just too much.
And honestly, like, the audition, I know particularly here in New York and Chicago, because a friend of mine, we were trading, like, nightmare stories, but, like, audition buildings are getting, like, hostile towards people bringing in, like, curling irons and, like, blocking the bathrooms.
Yeah.
Because the bathrooms are not holding rooms. Those are two totally separate rooms, and they don't like it. And so I know that an audition building here, I don't want to say which one here in the city, but there's also one in Chicago, it's, like, they're kicking people out of the bathroom. Like, they put a bathroom monitor in.
Yeah.
Because literally people are, like, makeup all over the counter or like power outages because of the amount of like curling irons and flat irons that have been plugged in, makeup getting like all over the counter. So like they're literally like kicking people out of the bathrooms.
Yes.
Just to like, so other people working in the building or rehearsing in the building like can have their space because they're so aggressive with just not using the holding room for its actual purpose.
Absolutely. And another thing about that too, and this is like a good segue, is you need to look like your headshot. So yes, if you are busy in the holding room, and even at home, don't even do it at home, and you're putting on a pound of makeup and you're doing your hair that looks like something that you couldn't even decipher from a resume, that's not a headshot, excuse me, that's not good. Like, I have sat in, I recently just did auditions for the summer stock I'll be working on over the summer, and there's a couple people that came in, and I'm at the table, and it was the two artistic directors and owners of the theater, it was two different directors, it was a music director, it was myself, it was a production manager, and we would look at these pictures and be like, we'd like get the picture before they come in the room and be like, wow, like, yeah, I totally see this person in this role. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And then they walk in the room and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Usually headshots are done very naturally. So especially if your headshot is done very naturally, feel free to do a little something to your hair, put some makeup on, absolutely. But it should still look like you. And if all of a sudden you're rolling into this audition and it doesn't look like you, it doesn't look like that picture, then you're not setting a good tone.
You're not, what I'll go so far as to like, I have a headshot that has afro, I have a headshot with a twist, I have a headshot with braids, like whatever my current look is what I'm able to hand them.
Yep,
and I had a professor in college tell me, and she was just like, people change their hair all the time, some people dye their hair, like, sometimes, like, be you, like, don't stop living your life, but just understand, if you hand them a resume with curly brown hair and you come in and you're a blonde now, they really won't remember you after seeing 200 girls all day.
And it's like, it's very true, because it's after when you're trying to cast a show and we're sitting there and looking at all the pictures and we're looking at our notes and I'm like, I don't remember who this person was anymore because you looked nothing like your picture.
And it becomes a very serious thing. I remember a show that I was working on. Well, the director wanted, the actress had dirty blonde hair, and they wanted to change it to platinum blonde. And she was like, oh, I just got headshots done, so I'm not dyeing my hair. The artistic director really thought it would work for the show, so he was on the director's side. And so the actor was like, went to her management team and was like, cool, my counteroffer is, if I'm going to dye my hair, you're going to pay for my hair to be dyed, and you're going to pay for new headshots.
Yeah.
The exact same price value, so I can go back to the same person that I got him at.
Right.
They forked over the money.
Right.
Up front, because she's very clear about being up front. So, I mean, everyone got what they wanted, and she actually wore the blonde, like the platinum blonde for like a year or two.
Yeah.
Because she actually liked it after having it for a while, but it was definitely one of those things of like,
you need to make sure that you look like yourself. Mm-hmm. So the same goes with just, yes, like in person, there's no need for you to be caking on all that makeup if that's not what you look like in your picture and that's not how you look in an everyday situation.
And my last thing for the holding room for me. Everyone is not you. Not everyone is a morning person. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is a night person. Not everyone is a middle of the day person.
That's a good one.
The holding room or dancer's process or warm up is different for everyone.
Yes.
I am not a morning person. I don't like talking to people in the morning.
Yes.
So if I'm in a holding room and it's before, let's say a good 10:30, I don't care what you're saying to me. If you're not a part of the people that I'm auditioning for, leave me alone.
Yes.
Other people are totally like full of energy in the morning. They've had their cup of coffee. You know, they ran 2 miles in the gym before coming to the audition. Like, they're a bundle of energy. Now, to be fair, I'm that same person when it's night auditions or evening auditions. But everyone's process is different. You get some people that literally will go into a full ballet warm-up in the corner by themselves. They will give themselves a full bar. Yes. You know, other people, they need to put their headphones in and kind of jam to something else. Like, everyone's process is different. Do not distract people from their process. And also don't be offended by other people's process.
Yeah. You need to do your process, and this sounds so silly, like absolutely be friendly, be respectful, all those things, but you're not in the holding room to make friends. So if you see people you know or people you're friendly even friends, and you will, absolutely say hi, how are you, what's going on? But just like Tony was saying, like respect their process and don't think that now it's gonna turn into a gab session because they might need like 30 minutes of like nothing, no one talking to them. So just be like, say hi, how's it going, what's up? And if the conversation seems to die, just be like, cool, you're going to go do your thing and I'm going to go do mine. And nobody's offended.
Oh yeah, because also nerves play a part of that. Like I was at an audition where we were, it was jazz and it was tap. Mm-hmm. And there were two separate combos. I had been teaching tap previously the previous semester, and I'd taken two tap classes because I knew I was coming in. Mm. So I was feeling very comfortable at the tap, and I also had a rough idea as to what the choreographer like wanted when it came to tap. Like we didn't even do triples. Like it was pretty basic. Another of my friends had not tapped in like 3 years. Can totally tap, but she just life didn't get around to it. So she was very nervous. So her energy became super crazy nervous energy, and I'm like, oh no, I can't do crazy nervous energy. Yep. I don't want any part of that. So I kind of like shut down, and she kind of got that like, oh, I'm making people neurotic. So she started to hurry. She does like sun salutations. And so she did what she needed to do, but it was like, our friendship was not hurt because I was like, I need to protect myself right now. And maybe this signal will also help you. And it did.
Yes.
So you just have to be very aware of energies in that holding room.
Yes.
And just don't be evil to people.
Yes, absolutely.
So, official list.
Here's the thing. What a lot of people do is when people will show up at open calls at like, as soon as the building opens, like 7 a.m. Like they'll be lined up outside of the building at like 6:30, you know, 6:30, depending on what the audition, what the project is.
Yep.
So that they can be one of the first ones on the list to be seen. Now, the monitor, and the, you know, for anyone who's like unsure, the monitor is the person that like literally runs the audition.
Mm-hmm.
The monitor doesn't show up. Their job doesn't start till 9:00. They are rolling in with their Starbucks at 9:01.
And do not care to do anything before they're paid.
So a lot of people will start an unofficial list so that they're like, I showed up early. I want to be the first on the list so that I can be actually seen first of the day. Then the monitor shows up. Sometimes the monitor's like, yeah, we're gonna honor the unofficial list. This is what it is. But most of the time, they're gonna make their own list on their own letterhead paper that might have certain stipulations.
And that's, well, I'm happy that you brought that up because the stipulations, I've been in a call where this lovely little person decided to start an unofficial list. And I was like, I know this creative team. It's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of people were like, well, you know, I go, I have worked for this creative team. Don't waste your time on the official list because they always come in and give stipulations as to what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, guys, if there's a soprano trap, literally they're going to say, if you're a soprano, sign up first so they can knock you out.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to ask you to scale. They're not even going to ask you to sing.
Right. And then they'll be like, hey, if you're for this track, like, you're going to sign up next.
Right.
And then they're
the monitor ripped it up and just tossed it in the trash can.
But the thing is, like, they're doing their, like, sometimes they're not super nice about it. Sometimes they're, you know, jerks about it. It happens. Maybe they had a bad day, or maybe, like, the person they saw in the elevator wasn't great. Whatever. Maybe they shouldn't be jerks about it. Fair.
It happens.
Right. But it happens. But the thing is, like, they have a job to do, and they've been told the way that they want, like, they've been told this is the way the list should run. These are the stipulations, or like, yeah, sure, whatever, honor the unofficial, like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, if they're not going to honor it, which most of the time happens, that means all of a sudden they'll be like, here's the list, come and sign up. Do not go up to them and try to be like, but there's an unofficial list, but I have to, my other favorite thing.
I hate that.
So I have to work at 3 p.m., so, like, I'm going to have to be seen before 3 p.m. They don't care. You're here to audition for a job. This is your job interview. Would you go to a job interview in corporate America and be like, well, I got to leave because my other job needs me back at 3 p.m.? You wouldn't do that. And that also goes for things like dance calls. When you go to an audition and they're like, so you're going to be seen for this, and then the dance call is going to be at 4 p.m. But you don't know if you're going to be asked to stay for the dance call until after they see you singing. Do not roll in, and then when they're like, great, we would love to see you for the dance call, like, please come back at 4, and you're like, ooh, well, actually, like, I gotta work at 4, so, like, I can't make it, but can I dance for you right now? Or, like, can I come back, like, tomorrow at the equity call? No. You need to make an on-the-spot decision. What is more worth it?
And, but to me, this goes back to prep work.
Yes.
Odds are they usually say there will be a dance call the next day, there will be a dance right. call this afternoon, tonight. You, at the very least, they'll tell you the time of the dance call or a rough estimate it for the dance call. Because sometimes they'll be, you'll come in and go,
it'll run
oh, you're a dancer.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't really need to do the singer call or the actor call. Come back at 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
Great. But it's just one of those things of do your prep work beforehand so you don't end up looking like a fool.
Because a lot of auditions will post their notice a sufficient enough time in advance, even if it's a week, for you to be like, oh, if you need to have someone cover your shift wherever you work, you can start making those phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you should. Or if you're like, I'm gonna have to call out that day, or I'm gonna have to use a sick day because this is something I really, really like want, you need to do that. But being like, ooh, sorry, can't make it, can't come back, or like, so I signed up first on the unofficial list because I have to work it too. That's not, I don't want to work with you then.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the rough reality.
And now I don't want to work with you because you're already creating problems and you haven't even gotten in front of the creative team.
And that's the thing of, like, everyone's an artist. Everyone can dance, especially in this industry, be it a small town or a large town. Everyone can dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, I used to feel sad for these people that would come from smaller towns or smaller markets and then get here to New York and feel like someone's going to make that exception for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens, great. But never expect the exception.
No.
Never expect to be the exception. Never expect for anyone to bend the rules for you. Because even if they're smiling in your face, being like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, or they jump through the hoops and let you do that audition, you've already made a negative impression.
Right.
And I can tell you now, someone on that creative team is like, no, they're a no for me.
Right.
So let's move on to learning the combo, the actual dance part of the audition.
Yes.
Doing your prep work again, I'm going to keep saying it because hopefully it'll catch on for people. You'll probably know what style you're doing. You'll probably know the choreographer. I'm also that person of, hey, how was the combo for the group, you know, for groups
Absolutely.
Going in front of you? And 9 times out of 10, most of the dancers will be like, ooh, they teach real fast. Or they'll
they
be like, ooh, there's tons of jumps in this one, or tons of turns.
To be fair, I have not gone on an audition in years, but usually, when
okay.
I used to, when I was younger, everyone
what,
is
a month,
very...
a month ago?
Like, everyone is like, as much as they're like, I'm here for me, I'm here to get the job, in general, the people are very nice, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to let you know if it was hard or easy, or if it's all turns or all jumps, or like, what it is. Like,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really matter if they tell you that or not, because...
It won't get more elaborate than that,
right.
But
also, like, that's not going to... Again, that's not going to get you the job.
Right.
So it doesn't, like, ask. Because usually 9 times out of 10 people will tell you what the combo
is
like.
They'll easily, and that's just a basic common courtesy of just, we're kind of all in this together to be like, you know, good luck. Because it's time to jump. So like, if you're not a jumper, ooh, this could be very difficult for
right.
you, you know. Or, you know, they're very classical. They're very technical. You know,
yeah.
you get some of that a lot of the times. It was like, it's more hip hop than we thought.
Yeah.
You know, or it can, you'll get a plethora of kind of like little clues like that. But when you go into the room, shut up
mm-hmm.
and listen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times I have been running auditions or at auditions where there's someone just gapping away in the corner. And I'm like, what? Like, why? Why
yeah.
are you talking
don't
right now?
Don't create that impression. Also, this is going to sound a little weird, but like, don't force your, and this is more so with a lot of new actors, a lot of people who are post-college and going out for the professional stuff. Don't force your way to the front with this like huge smile of like, I can do it. If you really are not positive, you can execute it flawlessly, because that's going to create a worse negative impression. You need to know, like, really honestly, a good spot is like, mid to front area.
Love dancing in the middle of the room.
Like, middle of the room. Make sure you're, like, kind of toward the front, but, like, middle. Make sure you can see yourself in the mirror. You can see the choreographer or the assistant or the dance captain, whoever's doing the choreography. And do your thing. And show yourself and show yourself and your impression. Also, like, when they're like, does anyone have any questions? Like, yes, ask questions, but ask them smartly. And don't ask too many. Ask one that's smart and then shut up. Because if you're like, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? No. Then it's like, you don't know what you're doing.
And also pacing and speed. Because in the dance world, something that I think is really important for dance teachers and dancers as they're learning, you don't get a lot of time to choreograph in real life. Mm-mm. Music theater world, 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 3 if you're lucky. Dance world, week and a half of eight-hour rehearsals. Like, it's just, sorry, when I say dance world, I mean dance companies.
Yes.
You don't get long, illustrious rehearsals to just work out an 8 count.
Right.
You know, it moves at a fast pace. So those questions really can slow down the momentum. So, like, I'm a fan of 3 questions max. And I save them for the section you have trouble with.
Yes.
Like, I usually don't ask a question during the learning. Usually when it's like, okay, let's run the combo one time.
Right, and I see
their tempo. Okay, I have a question. Is that actually a double? Because you gave me kind of a single and a half.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, I'm marking. Or I'm like, I'm the choreographer, I'm not doing a double. But it's actually a quad.
Right.
Okay, fine. Or, you know, it's actually, this is my, you know, they'll use their hand to demonstrate where their foot is. And it's like, this is where your foot should be. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, say I like saving my questions towards the end because 9 times out of 10, someone else will ask it.
Or I'll get answered by doing it.
Someone will do something stupid and the choreographer will answer.
Yes.
Or they'll just flat out tell you what they want.
Yes. The other thing, too, is, like, so I ran an audition recently, like, 2 months ago. And in the combo, and it was a pretty easy combo. And I'm also a fan of, like, when I am choreographing, I'm doing, like, relatively easy combos because, and also like short, because I can tell right away
I think it is. If you're a dance teacher and a choreographer, I don't like being here forever because I usually know within the first 5 seconds.
Exactly. I can tell right away how quickly you picked it up by the questions you ask and how you perform it. I don't need to see you do this crazy thing to know if I'm going to be able to set something bigger on you. But there's a tour in the combo, which is just, you know, your feet are parallel or first or fifth or wherever you want them. And you're just jumping up, turning around, and landing. And I was like, and I said, I did it. I told them, okay, now there's going to be a tour. And everyone kind of is like, oh. And, like, there was, like, the little, like, the wording, like, oh, we're going to do a tour? And I was like, yep. And I also was like, you have to remember as a dancer that I as a choreographer, that any choreographer you audition for, they have done the combination. So yes, they made it up. But then we also were like, all right, I got to do this with music full out to make sure it works. So if I did it. And so that's what I want. I'm not really throwing you any hard stuff. It's a little fast, but I want a tour in it. And tour's easy. You should all be able to do a tour.
You should.
So it was just interesting to see like how some people were like,
But to me, it's one of those things of, like, I don't know, one of the plethora of casting workshops I've done, where literally they just go, no creative team wants you to be bad.
No.
Because if you're it, if you're the what they're looking for, that means they can be done by 12 o'clock and go home.
Yep.
Because trust me, I've been in auditions where we found our lead in the second group of the day. So the rest of the day, we literally were like, how can we speed these up and shorten these without being rude? Because we've already casted our show.
I've been in that situation too.
We literally had casted our principal, so we're kind of just like, well, I don't know what we're going to do for the rest of the day.
Right.
So they want you to be it. They want you to be the stars. Trust the choreographer. Trust the assistants or the dance captains. Like,
yes.
Trust the people that are dancing in front of you because it makes a huge difference.
Yes. And that, like, that moment of, like, oh, something was thrown in there that you weren't expecting, that you do when you're in class. And I do it so when I'm taking class and everyone's like, we're about to do this. Like, check that out. Like, that's fine for class. because everyone's like, you're in that community and it's kind of part of that, but then you do it anyway. But in an audition, like, yes, you have that community of dancers with you, but you just want to put your best foot forward and not kind of like have that moment of like, oh man.
It's like, ooh, I can't do that. Or also, I'm not particularly a fan of modifying, but I would much rather someone execute a simpler version of what I'm asking for correctly than to completely destroy the choreo by trying to do something that they can't.
Yes.
I had a basic Batma layout combo, and the young lady couldn't, her Batma was just not that high, and she lowered it, but still gave me, you know, the arching back. You know, the layout was still quite pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, but I want it. But then we had this other girl right after her who, again, could not kick it. She ended up kicking on releve, pulled her leg, the muscles mm-hmm. could stretch too far, pulled her leg, and went slamming back into her head. And I was like,
and
then we even have to slow the audition down,
right.
Make sure she's okay. And I'm like, you know what? I would much take that 90-degree
yes.
Batma.
But that's, again, about being a smart dancer, smart performer, mm-hmm. is if you're in an audition and you're faced with, like, shit, I'm not good at that, or I can't do that, instead of trying to do it and hurting yourself or looking crazy, you need to be like, how can I still portray exactly what they're asking me to portray, but do it effectively mm-hmm. for me?
Yes.
Because even if it's not what you wanted, you'll look at it and be like, oh, but her line is beautiful. And you know what? That works.
And it's just one of those things of a choreographer is choreographing a dance or a piece or a show. Like, they kind of have something in mind what they want. And they can peg who's got it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much just what it all boils down to. It's just knowing yourself. Knowing your body, know how you move, knowing how warm you are that
yeah.
day. Does not make any sense.
Because if you show me you're smart in an audition, I'm like, great, you're going to be easy to work with because you're a smart worker.
It's true. And the same thing goes for that lovely little audition bag with you.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I don't want you to bring a curling iron, a flat iron, you know, all of Sephora with you, please bring all the shoes that you own for an audition.
Yeah. You should have your heels. You should have a pair of sneakers that you dance in that are good for, like, jazz and hip-hop and all mm-hmm. that. You should have ballet flats because you just never know. And you should have tap shoes because you just never know. Maybe if you have ballroom heels, throw those in there, men's or women.
And a trend that I like, and to be fair, this is from one of my friends who, she, like, is a full-on dancer, and she does do ballroom, things mm-hmm. like that. She has 3 pairs of heels.
Mm-hmm.
She has her Ladukas, which if you
yeah.
don't, like, go back to the dress code episode if you're unsure about what Ladukas are. She has her Ladukas. She has her ballroom shoes. And then she has a smaller heel because
yes.
she herself is relatively tall.
Mm-hmm.
So in her Ladukas, she easily is, like, sitting at, like, 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't want girls to be tall. Sometimes they do. So while she's all has her, like, 3- and 4-inch heels, she has a spare of, like, kitten heels almost.
Yeah.
It still look like, it's still a dance shoe, but it's a smaller heel. She's
yes.
like, it's one more extra pair of shoes. And you should, like, throw, I think they're, like, Block or Capizia. And she's like, they're not that much heavier than everything else in my bag. So, like, it just makes sense to bring a smaller heel because sometimes they ask for it.
Yes.
You know?
You should always have, you should have a little audition bag. You don't need a massive bag. You can
You do not
fit,
need a duffel bag.
No.
You can put a small child in.
You can fit a lot of, you can fit everything into a backpack. You can.
Yeesh.
And in your backpack, you should have your makeup, your small bag of makeup, so you can freshen it up. You should have, like, a hairbrush and hairspray. This is, like, clearly I'm speaking in terms of women right now. But, like, men too should have, like, a hairbrush and hairspray, probably. You should have your multiple pairs of shoes. You should have your book, which is your binder full of music. Because even if you're not a singer and you're a dancer, if you're going in for a musical theater thing,
still gonna ask
you
to sing.
They're going to ask you to sing, like, 9 times out of 10. You need your book. You need copies of your headshot and resume. You should have all that. You can definitely fit them in a backpack. You know, you throw some snacks in, throw a book in or a tablet or something. But you need to come, again, being smart.
It makes a huge difference. And so you actually brought up a really great point. Anytime it is a musical of any kind, you will be asked to sing. Even if you are just there to kick to your nose, they may ask you to sing.
Yes.
because, or it could be as simple as, if we throw you in a giant chorus number, can you learn a basic melody and not screw up people right. around you?
Well, I know one of our friends, she went in for Phantom of the Opera, and, you know, those ballet girls are, they do sing, but it's pretty much just a ballet track.
Yeah.
And, but they still even, like, and for the, that call for the chorus, for the ballet chorus, you dance first. You know, a lot of especially a lot of Broadway shows and musical theater shows, you will sing first. And even if they're really casting for dancers, they'll still kind of have you sing first, knowing that you're going to be a dancer. But mm-hmm. that show in particular, they have you dance first. And if you get to the final round of callbacks for dancing, then they'll have you sing. But once again, they will have you sing.
Oh,
she
yeah.
had to sing. Like, you have to be prepared.
That happened with a chorus line. Because, of course, like, they typically always make you dance first. It was so funny. They do the jazz combo first.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate people. Do the ballet combo. Eliminate people. And they're like, okay, these are all the singing requirements we need out of you. So they don't care, like, they don't care that you can do this, 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 that you still need to meet the singing requirements.
Yeah.
For the show. And so it's always very surprising to me the amount of, like, hardcore dancers that never take any time to work on their voice, but, like, really want to be in musicals or really want to dance, you know.
Yeah, if you want to be in musicals, you have to, you don't have to be the best singer in the world, but you should take some voice lessons, and you should have a book prepared with stuff that's appropriate for you, and
you just have to, like, one more thing I want to touch on, and we've done, like, a whole episode on this, but dress code when you go to auditions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, like, people will tell you, especially in college, they'll tell you, like, wear this specific color. I don't want to knock nobody's college professor, no one's high school drama teacher. Real life, we don't care.
No. That's the other thing, too.
We don't care.
A big thing in college is, like, when you go to auditions in college and, like, we all had to do it, it's like, for women, you show up in a dress with heels on. For men, you show up in slacks with a button up. That's how you audition for all your college productions, which is funny because I remember auditioning for a college production and I went over, it was the School of Music was doing Carousel. And so everyone who's at the Carousel audition from the School of Music is in their dress and their heels. And I showed up in a pair of like nice, like, cause it was during the summer you audition, like nicer, like dressier shorts and a blouse and like, cute sandals, because again, I want to look like myself and feel like myself.
Yes.
But yeah, a lot of people do that, and like you, it is very easy to tell that you are fresh meat when you show up to an audition in New York in your dress and heels.
God, yeah, and I feel so, or just like, you know, like, and you still girls that are put on like a simple dress, but like the smart dancers, it's a dress that like fits into like their dance leotard.
Yes.
You know, or it's like a built-in snap skirt that like looks super casual, but then you realize it's made of like nylon, so
right.
it like, breathes and stretches. Love those girls.
And then the other thing that is so tricky to me, but so interesting, is like when people say like, "Oh, I dressed for the role today," and that's very interesting because 9 times out of 10. You will automatically, once again, make a not great impression if you dressed for the role, if you dressed in period, because they don't need to see that. They know they can put a costume on you. They know they can put a wig on you or ask you to dye your hair or ask you to do all that
stuff. Everybody wears wigs.
They don't need to see that. They need to see what are you comfortable in to show us who you are as a person.
Yeah. Like that's really what it is. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not a fan of dressing.
Unless it specifically says, like, please come dressed, like, if they're doing hair, please come dressed in, like, a la 60s attire or something. Like, it doesn't really, I don't really need to see
like,
you in bell-bottom jeans.
Right.
I got it. I can put you in bell-bottoms.
The only, like, major ones I've seen is, like, every now and then it'll be, like, girls, please wear a skirt, because the skirt, you know, and this is usually callbacks. Let me be clear.
Yes.
This is usually callbacks.
Yes.
Where they're like, the skirt, you know, their choreography involves a skirt. But then a lot of, again, I've seen plenty of people, you know, grab their legs and do it with their hands to wear. It's like,
yeah.
It doesn't, again, in that audition room, you want to, again, shower, look nice.
Absolutely.
But you
wear
want,
something cute.
Cute and comfortable is
yes.
best. Like,
yes.
You don't need to deck out to the nines. You know, you don't want to look like a bum coming in there. But, like, understand at the end of the day, you can come in there in a tank top and some shorts and some combat boots. If you're right for the part, you're right for the part.
Well, that's interesting because so both of our friends, we know this person. She would always, like, even in college, she was like, no, like, I don't feel comfortable in a dress. Like, I'm going to show up in, like, you know, black jeans and a cute blouse, mm-hmm. and I'm going to show up in combat boots and, like, the stuff that, like, it looks nice, but it makes me feel like me and comfortable and I'm just, like, me. And people would tell her, like, well, you know, this is why you're not getting jobs. Like, this is why you're not getting callbacks, because you're not showing up in your dress and heels. Like, this is why.
They don't care.
Especially after, like, post-college when she started auditioning, like, in the real world. And, like, all her, like, other college, like, people from her department were like, well, this is why you're not getting callbacks. This is why you're not booking. And she said to me, her and I were talking about it, and she was like, but you know what? No, like, they should want to see me for me and see if I'm right for the character. And if I'm going in there feeling tense and stressed out and, like, mm-hmm. not feeling like me, how are they even supposed to tell if I'm right for the character?
But I mean, that's completely true. And that's totally not the reason. Like, again,
that's not the reason you're not getting it.
I've been on the other side of that table where I literally, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. They don't care. Because, again, at the end of the day, they're looking for the right talent. So,
who they can mold. I didn't think about this. My brother actually very recently went in for replacements for the Torah Book of Mormon. And when he got the breakdown, when they sent him all the information about the audition, it explicitly said, do not come in black slacks and a white shirt. Like, it explicitly was like, do not come in those clothes, because they want to see what you can fit and how they can mold you. And if you're dressing that way, you're already putting yourself into this box that then I might not be able to see past.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. So I've met Trey Parker and Matt Stone, mm-hmm. the creators of Book of Mormon and South Park, through friends of the friends. Love this community here in New York. They're not theater people.
No.
They are not theater people. They are not at all theater people. They are not at all theater people. So it's so funny because literally what they said one time, they were talking about auditions in general, and they're just like, what is so crazy is that, like, people come in, literally goes, a lot of the white guys come in dressed in, like, this black socks and the white t-shirt. Like, if you're a white guy in that show, we already know what you're going to be wearing.
Right.
So why are you wearing that?
Like, I already know that's your costume.
Laughing. But, like, it's literally, he was like, every white person in this show is literally wearing black socks and a white t-shirt and a black tie. Why do I need to see you in that?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it was literally, like, I've never laughed so hard. But I'm like, it's true. Like, it's completely true. So he was like, that was a complete and utter waste of time.
And especially if you get called in for an audition or go on a call where it does say, do not wear this, don't wear it.
Again,
don't show up.
Dancers.
Don't be like, yeah, but they'll want to cast me when they see I look the part. No, they won't.
Because
that shows me that you didn't read the audition notice.
Hello.
Or your information that was given to you.
Like, it's just one of those things where, like, again, be smart. If you have questions, make sure they're very smart questions. And just learn. And it's one of those things that I will say that if you can go to a lot of auditions right after leaving college and hitting the professional world, go. You will learn a lot. Mm-hmm. Just sit back and watch. You will learn so much about yourself and other people. Like, just sit back and watch. You will learn so, so much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that brings us to our next segment of I'm sorry, what did you just say to me? This segment is all about the funny and awkward things that our students say to us and do in classes with us. If you would like to share some of your funny and awkward moments, you can send those to pytnyc29@gmail.com. That's pytnyc29@gmail.com.
I have a good one. So
yes, take it away.
We're getting ready for our dance show at work at school. And it's a Disney theme, and one of the classes is doing the Phil Collins and NSYNC version of Trash in the Can from Tarzan.
Yes.
Super fun. They look great. And I was like, what is something I can put in the dance? Like, they're already having so much fun, but what's that little kicker I can put in to just, like, blow their minds? And I was like, you know what? They do all these really cool dance moves now that, like, I don't know how to do. And I was like, actually, like, yeah, I want to put, like, the backpack thing in, like, from the backpack kid. And I want to put the, the Millie Rock in, because it kind of works with the number, and then they bring it all back together in the end. But I was telling them about this. They're totally into the idea. I'm like, right, so we're going to do the backpack for like 8 counts. And I'm trying to show it. And like, I can't do it. And they all just start hysterically laughing. And one of them was like, Miss Clenjo, just stop. Just stop. And I like, so now even like, this was last week. So even today when I had their class and I was like, right, so then we do like the backpack into the Millie Rock. And I was like, so who wants to demonstrate? Because I was like, we all know that Miss Clenjo can't do either of those. But like, it looks good on you guys. So that was funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I was like, what's the thing, the new dance you're doing that I'm probably going to hate and can't do?
Right.
And then they're quick. But like, it looks
so cool on them.
Do that for 8 counts.
Like right. None of us can do it, but it looks so cool on them. And I was like, they're going to love it. The other kids are going to go wild. Yep. The parents are going to go wild. Yep. Like,
totally for it. So I've been on spring break this past week, which is why last week's episode I was doing stuff. But I do have one that happened right before spring break. We're going into our spring show, and our 8th graders are doing solos. And so the rule with 8th grade solos is that you have to bring something, you have to prepare 24 counts. Mm. And I usually help with the first 8, and then they bring in the next 24, we go from there. But 2 of my 8th graders like had events going on, so I couldn't see them before the break. So I saw them at a show that we took the kids to, and then I wouldn't see them again until like, I see them Friday. Oh my God, because of testing. And so, literally, I go, hey, yo, so your assignment for spring break is that I need 24 counts of dance done.
Right.
And one of my students is like, wait, what do you, what? That doesn't make any sense. Well, yes, it does. Like, you count from the beginning. I need 24 counts of dance. But, like, you want me to do this on my own? I said, well, like, you're an 8th grader. Like, you're a big boy. You can do this now. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I can do that. I was like, okay, well, then I guess I'm going to have to take your solo. Oh, no. I'll figure it out.
Yep.
I'm going to have my solo. I was like, well, if you don't have 24, because Jesus will make a way. And he walks away from me and I go, okay, well, sure then.
All you got to do is say you're going to take it away. And they're like, I'm just kidding.
He's like, no.
Just kidding. I got it. I got it.
So, yeah. Please continue to share your funny and awkward moments with me and Danielle from our, I'm sorry, what did you say section? You can email those at pytnyc29@gmail.com. Which rolls us right along to class shout out.
So I've said this before in a couple episodes at work. I'm really fortunate enough to work with a whole entire team of dance teachers, and we get to do these series of classes for us so that we're continuing to have training. And this past week, one of the other teachers taught a modern class, and it was really great. It was like a modern contemporary, but pretty modern. And we say modern contemporary because she fused. It had a lot of Horton, but she also fused in other forms of modern. So it was like, and then some other stuff that was just kind of her own. And it was wonderful, and it was lovely, and it was so good to do it, and just be surrounded with other, like, teachers and dancers who are still trying to, like, take class and still dancing and still creating. So that's just something I want to shout out. Like, it was a really great experience. And one of the teachers, actually, he couldn't dance. He was injured or something. So he was just watching. And when we were all done, you know, we were doing it in groups. It was a real class.
Nice.
He was like, I just want to shout out everyone. He's like, I've been going through some of our stuff and just, like, being able to watch like all of you guys dance and how much joy you have dancing and how you're interacting with each other, like that just reminds me like why we do what we do and we pass on what we do. So that was really great, and it's nice to be able to dance with my coworkers. It was really nice.
So for me, I was on vacation during spring break, so I was not in New York City, I was in Miami. And I got to take a really fun, and I know every college professor I have is going to think I'm lying when I say this. I'm not a Horton fan. Mm-hmm. I do not like Horton.
Oh, see, I love Horton.
I do not like Horton on my body. Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful, but I do not like Horton on what's happening over here. So, but it was Christopher Banks at Miami Dance Academy, I think is her name. I just literally, a friend of a friend was like, you're in town, you should take this class. So it was Horton Style of Martin. And it was just a lot of fun. Like, it was a smaller studio, and there is a Millennium Dance in Miami, but I was like on vacation, so I wasn't working that hard.
Mm-hmm.
But this like I didn't want to travel. That's what it was. I didn't want to travel all the way to Millennium. I was a lot closer to this place. And I only took one class with them, but, like, it was very, like, it's very welcoming. It was, you know, beginner to advanced or beginner to intermediate Horton. So, like, it was a little easier than I should have taken, but, like, it was a nice stretch and just reminder for, like, especially
if you're on vacation. Yes, you need those, like, refresher classes to just feel, to just, like, get back in your body.
So, yeah, I definitely say if you're in the Miami area, check them out. And that's why I also say to a lot of our teachers, like, give us a shout out. Let us know who you are. Let us know where you are. You never know where we're going.
Let us shout you out.
Because I definitely remember going on vacation in Boston and being like, I wish I could take a class here.
And I'm not like, knowing.
Wishing what I knew now. Like, there were numerous classes. Well, that's it for this episode. The curtain has closed. And we hope that you will join us next week.
And every week after that.
We want to say a special thank you to our listeners.
Our numbers keep growing, and that's all thanks to you.
Episodes come out every Tuesday.
You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Blueberry, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio.
You can find us on Facebook at Point Your Toes. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at PointPYT.
You can email us at PYTNYC29@gmail.com.
I'm your co-host, Tony Williams II.
And I'm your co-host, Danielle Colangelo.
See you next week on Point Your Toes, the Adventures of the NYC.
I think I got it. I knew he liked me all the time.
I want your pictures and resumes, please.